those lovely words of exaggeration. I feel truly humbled not only to hear these extravagant words of praise, but the mere fact that my name is in some way coupled with that of our great master, the Rav Zichr Tzadik Livracha, and that I can join a very illustrious and highly respected colleague of Aaron Lichtenstein, who preceded me as an Aluf Torah. I fear, however, that you made one error, and that is a zoological error. The word Aluf means a chief, a champion, a hero, Aluf Moab, Aluf Edom, but in its original connotation, it's agricultural. An Aluf is an ox, and I am a lamb. But I suppose it's a challenge to me not to be a lamb, but to be an ox. Bereshut, Kvod Nesi, Medinat Yisrael, Moshe Katzav, Hanichbad, Bereshut Chavirai V'Amitai, Rashi HaYeshiva, members of the boards of Yeshiva and Reitz, and the chairman, guests, and above all, fellow Mizmachim. As we welcome this month, the month of Nisan, the Chodesh HaGeula, I recall the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara tells us, in Aramaic of course, Hayman de Nothik b'yachad de Nisan, if one goes out during this month of Nisan, the beginning of spring, V'chaza ilana de kamalavlava, and he notices how nature comes to life, for the trees are blossoming. In exuberance, he must make a blessing, a bracha. And what is the bracha? Baruch shalochiser be'olamo klum. Blessed is he who created the world in which everything is right and nothing is amiss. Uvarabo ilanotovot v'riyotovim. And he placed in this world beautiful trees and beautiful creatures. Vidna'ot behem b'nei adam, for the pleasure of man. In other words, this is a perfect world. Really? In a world of suicide bombers and rampant international anti-Semitism, of drug culture and AIDS, of racism and genocide, and of the Jewish community, of volatile and voluble divisiveness, pugnacious ignorance, smug mediocrity, and progressive alienation from all that has been cherished and sanctified for almost 200 generations, a perfect world? Yes, friends, a perfect world. I know quite well that that is a fiction, and the burden of my remarks is that it is a glorious fiction. I prefer to call it a sacred fiction, a statement that defies common sense, but if held and pursued single-mindedly, can lead to uncommon truths. For there are fictions that if you believe in them with all your heart and all your soul, with all your energy, even if your mind defies them, can miraculously turn the truths into sacred truths. If you believe that this is a perfect world, shelo chiser ba'olamo klum, then you will make it into a perfect world. You will repair its defects. You will sublimate its evil passions and make life better and nobler and holier. That is the real meaning of Tikkun Olam. As we say in our Aleinu prayer, L'taken Olam b'malchut Shaddai, to repair the world based on the model and ideals of the Divine Kingdom. So I urge you as newly minted Rabbonim to engage in the heroic struggle to create fictions, great fictions, absurd fictions, and turn them into sublime truths. And let me give you six such sacred fictions for Rabbanim and Mechanchim. Number one, every Jew, no matter how estranged and assimilated, is redeemable if you try hard enough. Number two, Israel, with all its vigorous debates, its invariable divisions, its very voluble fratricide almost, is institutional agnosticism is capable of once again becoming an Am Kadosh U'Mamlechet Kohanim. Third fiction. Your balabatim, your boards and parent councils and education committees, are all of them cooperative, well-meaning, tolerant, committed, intelligent, peaceful, generous, and respectful, ladies and gentlemen. Fourth fiction. American culture, which is our very environment, the air we breathe in this country, despite its vulgarity and shallowness, nevertheless contains enough that is precious, enough respect for the dignity of man as a Tzelem Elokim, enough political wisdom, and enough human goodness to encourage our religious devotion to enable us to thrive as authentic Jews, as Shomrei Torah u'Bnei Torah, Shomrei Mitzvah u'Bnei Torah. Fifth, to young Mishpachim, you should know that your rabbinic colleagues are always helpful and respectful without gall or envy or pettiness. And finally, the next and last fiction, as above, you will devote many hours of the day throughout your life to Limud HaTorah B'Iyun, not allowing the pesky details and bothersome frustrations to interfere with your learning. Friends, Mishpachim, all of you are in the spring of your rabbinic careers, of Avodas HaKodesh, and I am in my autumn years. So let me tell you that the fictions I've limned for you are indeed fictions. But after 50 years in Avodas HaKodesh that I have experienced, I've learned that these are noble fictions, usable, indispensable, and sacred ones, pursued with intelligence and verve and sensitivity. They are not at all untrue, and they will morph into exciting and fulfilling realities, if not altogether, at least enough to give you profound satisfaction and pride in your career. Baruch shelo chiser ba'olamo klum. So you have six fictions leading to six truths. These six truths induced by the sacred fictions must be your goals and the signposts of your success in your life's ambition. Number one, never give up on any Jew, no matter how difficult it may be. Risk everything, everything, in order to lead to such a vast change in the communal mood as to make the commitment to Torah and to the great ideals of Judaism the most logical and rational choice for Klal Yisrael. Second, your loyalty to Medinat Yisrael, no matter whether you settle there or not, no matter what criticisms you may have, is unconditional. Criticize it if you will, but love it, support it, and every musbach of yeshiva and every graduate of our undergraduate schools should, and I know does, at least consider Aliyah as an option. Third, you must always love your balabatim, even if you don't always like them. They are your responsibility, like it or not. Moreover, those who are now your severest critics may someday become your best friends. Fourth, don't give up on America. This is where we live. This is where the action is. Moreover, American culture has penetrated every nook and corner of the vast globe, especially including Israel. And to refuse to engage it, to segregate from it, is to cop out on one of the great issues of our times. And that is tantamount to a soldier abandoning his post in the heat of battle. Not to engage the community, not to speak out to American Jewry and to America, is an act of cowardice towards our fellow Jews, and treason against the mission that was placed upon us when we got smicha. Don't disguise it as piety or frumkeit. It isn't. The whole of the Jewish community are our comrade in arms, and we dare not betray their trust. Now, as to your colleagues, past and future, it is your duty, despite all the attacks on you that may come your way, to foster peace and understanding amongst our fellow rabbis. More important, peace and unity in your congregation, of your school, of the larger community, of the Jewish people, even of the world. All this falls within the purview of your achrayus. Consider a well-known passage. Ashkenazim referred to it on Shabbat, and the rest of the world, the Sfardim, on every day. Tanu Dibei Leyel, Kol Hashaneh Halachot B'chol Yom Uftach Lo Shul Ben Olam Haba. Everyone who studies halacha every day is a guarantee to deserve the world to come. She'nemar halichot olam lo atikri halichot ela halachot. Everyone must study a passage. This is immediately followed, in many instances, by a passage from Avot Rabbi Natan. Amar Rabbi Elazar Amar Rabbi Chanina. Amidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. Great Tamidei Chachamim scholars increase peace in the world. Well, I have two questions about each of these sources, and especially those who organize the Siddur and conjoin them. First, Tamidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. Scholars increase peace in the world. I tell you, it's factually questionable. I know many cases where the exact opposite holds true. I've been involved in them. I have the scars to prove it. Second, if indeed it's important to be shoneh halachot b'chol yom, to study halakha every day, why do we not recite the halakha? And instead it choose a gadah, that tamidei chachamim marbim shalom ba'olam, which is not a halakha. And my answer is to both that indeed, the mitzvah to learn a halakha every day, and the statement, Tamidei Chachamim Barbim Shalom Ba'olam, is indeed a halakha, a halachic dictum. By this I mean that the statement that Tamidei Chachamim increase peace in the world is not descriptive or agadic. It is normative. That is the way it has to be. It is halachically required of a Talmid Chacham to increase peace in the world. It is a preeminent halakha and one which we should reiterate daily. Bear this in mind in your careers, all during your careers. Rabbis should be initiators of peace, never instigators of strife. Tamidei Chachamim should teach by example that mutual insults and disrespect and belittlement should not necessarily accompany every difference of opinion. The chilukei deot should not necessarily lead to machloket. This is not etiquette or decorum. This is halakha. Since we're speaking of peace and unity, I feel compelled to refer to the Sholem Bayis of our own beloved yeshiva. I dwelled on this in previous public addresses, one in June at the Reitz dinner, once again in Hanukkah in December. I believe it bears repetition as we are on the verge of a period of transition and change in the leadership of our beloved Yeshiva University and Yeshiva. When the Torah describes the building of the Mishkan, it speaks of the different parts of the Mishkan, different furnishings, the Mizbeach, the Shulchan, the Menorah, and each one in great detail. And each one had its own function, its own purpose, its own use. But at the conclusion of all these descriptions, the Torah ties it together in a way that is very much the point. Three words. V'haya ha-mishkan echad. The tabernacle, the mishkan, must be one. It must be united, unified, cohesive. All the parts must fit together as one sanctuary. Yeshiva is our contemporary mishkan. It consists of many parts that are quite distinguished. Albert Einstein College of Medicine, Cardozo School of Law, School of Psychology, School of Social Work, Israeli School of Jewish Education, Revel, undergraduate schools, Reitz, many parts, each one of which has its own imminent mission and purpose, but all together must blend in the overall mission of this institution, which is the perpetuation of the Jewish people and the Jewish tradition and the Torah in the medium of Torah Amada. For the last 20 years, Yeshiva University and REITs have been legally distinct, and we must obey the law of the state of New York. But spiritually and functionally, we have understood and intuited all along that V'haya HaMishkan Echad, for many decades, we worked together in consonance and mutual respect, without tension or contention, without rift or conflict. That peace and unity is a sacred bond which must never be allowed to be frayed. I know of no one who would consciously want to disrupt and rupture that bond. No one. But sometimes, with the best of intentions, there are consequences that can be well nigh unintended, but disastrous. We must not allow anyone or anything to come between us. We may disagree about this or about that, but only in respect and even in love. No one, or let me put it differently, everyone should be very careful not to turn the yeshiva family into a dysfunctional family, chas v'shalom. Yeshiva University is the body, the goof of our institution. It's a great corpus, widely respected, prestigious in the academic world. REITs, Rabbi Shiva Sabbeinu Yisrael Chanan, is its neshama, is its soul, what gives all the rest its specialness, its uniqueness, its meaning. Together, YU and REITs form a living organism of which all of us can be proud as we are. But God forbid if you separate them, then Yeshiva University is a body without a soul, without a spirit, a corpse. And REITs, without Yeshiva University as its body, is but a ghost. And what three presidents and three administrations and over 100 years have united, we shall not allow anyone to sunder. Finally, turning back to our mismachim for the last point, let me say to the mismachim, never allow yourself or ourselves to sink into a passive intellectual mood, whereby you progressively forget your learning. And it's so easy to forget, much more easy than to learn. And where Limud HaTorah is barely adequate to prepare elementary classes or she'arim or lectures, is told of one of the great Gaonim of the past, Rabbi Shlomo Eger, that he once went into a business venture with a partner who was also a Talmid Chacham. And they were successful, but a competitor, a vile competitor, falsely accused them of fraud, and they were charged by the government. They were terribly worried, and they got together to plan strategy, and there was an all-night session lasted into the wee hours of the morning, and they were confronted with this great sorrow. Finally, they got an hour or so, the business partner got an hour or two of sleep, and he came back to the Shlomo Eger, and he found him over a Gemara deep in the Sugya. They said to him, Rebbe, we're facing such a tzara, and you have time to learn? And the Shlomo Eger answered, yes, we are facing a great tzara, but not to learn Torah is a greater tzara. We With all this hortatory advice I'm giving our Mismachim, let me caution you, it will not be easy. Look at the depressing statistics on burnout in the rabbinate, and the number of older chaverim, some of them who are trying so hard to leave for other occupations. I know from experience that the job of a rabbi and educator, even the president, is often lonely. You may find yourself in a community where very few people are there with whom you can converse as equals in background, in commitment, in knowledge. People will tend to look up to you or down at you, but rarely in a one-to-one intimate relationship, depending on their own moral stature. I promise you, you will feel overworked, underappreciated, and often very tired. You will wonder if your words have any effect, if your labor was lehevelik for naught, whether it was worth giving up other possible career opportunities for the frustrations and heartache you may be suffering as rabbis or teachers. So I'm here to tell you, stop complaining. First of all, not all other careers are pure pleasure and paradise. Every profession has its problems, its deficits, its frustrations. Excessive complaining reveals a kind of psychological immaturity and social provincialism. And if so, I hope you're lucky enough to marry the kind of woman who, after you throw a few tantrums, will say to you, "My dear, what do you really want to be when you grow up?" Second, if indeed the tendency for burnout is more prevalent amongst rabbis than other professions, and I believe it is, ask yourself a two-word question. So what? If our halakhic commitments instruct us that every time we say the Shema, and we say B'chol Nafshecha, we have to be prepared to die al Kiddush Hashem, afilu notelet nafshecha, to burn at the stake, so what if we have a few frustrations that eat us up, that have not eat us up? If we are required to be Mosa Nefesh for Yiddishkeit and die a punitive martyrdom, remember, better burnout than burn. We did not enter the rabbinate in order to make money, even though it is legitimate that a rav should earn a decent living. We did not become teachers because it's a way to get rich quick, even though we deserve adequate compensation. We didn't decide on the career of Avodas Hashem and Melechas Hashem because we aspired to a life of comfort and ease. We became Rabbanim HaMechanchim because we wanted to be intimately bound up in a life of Limud HaTorah. In one way or another, we wanted to stem the tide of assimilation and illiteracy by putting a finger in the dike, slowing the rate of defection, even if the floodwaters of cynicism and erzust Judaism swirled about us. We wanted to swim against the tide in order to reach the ideal of Dor Deha, a knowledgeable generation. We determined to lend every effort to stem the erosion of Jewish society, moderating if not reversing the ubiquitous hedonism, permissiveness, and crass materialism that afflicts our people along with most other Americans. We resolved to become religious leaders not despite its mediocrity of American Jewish life, but because of it. Because we felt that after our years of learning, we've been armed with an iron will to persevere in the face of all opposition. Because our long hours in the Beis Medrash have prepared us to be a fighting minority, ready to suffer the consequences of being outnumbered, but never outcommitted. We have felt our education in Torah Amada has armed us with the unique ability to make Torah attractive, to put a smile on the visage of Orthodox Judaism, to show that Torah and culture are not antagonistic, and piety need not be parochial, that Jewish learning of the classics takes a backseat to no discipline in the world in its complexity, in its capaciousness, in its majesty, in its grandeur, and in its holiness yet relevance. Compared to all this, what is so troubling about little more frustration than we think we deserve? How important in our lives should be the snubs of an Am HaAretz, the frozen indifference of many of our fellow Jews. That, after all, friends, is specifically and precisely our mission. To teach the ignorant, to arouse the indifferent, to melt the icy apathy, and to stir the embers of love and passion and holiness in apparently dull hearts. If you're tired of being the subject of idle conversation amongst your Baba Batim, of their criticism and occasional rumors, take heart from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu worried, in giving an account of building the Mishkan, that he would be accused of putting his hand in the till and taking a few pennies for himself. Moshe Rabbeinu. And later, we are told, Chashduhu me'esh es ish. They even suspected him of philandering and adultery. Moshe Rabbeinu. How much worse can you have it? He never let it divert him, or dispirit him, or discourage him. We live in dangerous but exciting times, and we expect of you to be the leaders of the Jewish community, to complete in your generation what those in my generation have failed. We have left uncompleted. We expect you to succeed where we failed, to be the latest link in the golden chain of our Masorah, stretching from Moshe Rabbeinu to Mashiach Tzidkenu. So join the battle for Jewish creativity and future with joy, with energy, with enthusiasm, with love, all kinds of love. Avas Hashem and Avas Yisrael and Avas HaTorah. And after that, Avas Eretz Yisrael, Avas Medinas Yisrael, and Avas HaBrios. On this eve of the Chodesh HaGeulah, may we be zochel the Geula Shlema and Geula Chadasha, and lead in full-throated singing of a Shira Chadasha, one of new lyrics, fashioned out of your loves, your loyalties, and your particular experiences, which are different from those I had before me. But of the same tunes, in the same chant, in the same Gemara Nigan that you sustained in your years, in the Beis Medrash. To that music of the spheres, may all of us march together to fulfill our mission of Lahagdil Torah Ulahadirah.